Our next presentation is from North Carolina State University with Julie Grossman, Good Food for All, Service Learning. Julie.
Thank you, Jeff. So I want to start out with a job announcement that came across my desk, aka email, about 2 months ago, which was a position that is highly desired for a lot of the students that I work with. Wanted, an urban farm manager for a 20-year-old nonprofit organization focusing on innovative urban agriculture-based education programs and food systems projects, committed to the creation of urban school and community urban agriculture-based education and research programs for youth and adults. $44,000, sounds pretty good. Paid vacation and holidays, health insurance allowance. Though that person was going to be doing things like expanding an innovative and evolving urban agriculture program for Rochester, City of Rochester, implementing a new healthy urban food system strategy, and contributing to the design and development of a K-6 student-driven nutrition program. Now, what did they want from students or from applicants to this position? Well, they wanted the candidates to be competent in certified organic agriculture practices, management, and research. They wanted the candidate to have experience in conducting agricultural workshops and educational programs for educators, youth, and adults. Health volunteer experience and management for apprentices. And finally, ability and interest in working with low-income children and adults from diverse backgrounds and abilities. And I would argue that, to me, we're doing a really good job at number one, but maybe in ag education, maybe not such a great job in giving students the skills they need in numbers 2 through 4. And interestingly, this is the type of job that a lot of the students coming into agriculture who are new to agriculture would like to have. So the question then becomes, how do we give students these skills? How do we train them so that when they get out of our programs, they can get these jobs? So one of my graduate students, Sarah Smith, went to find out. So she called a number of urban agriculture programs working in food systems and asked them, what do you want your employees to have? What skills? And she found that most of them, by and large, wanted things like the ability to adapt, public speaking skills, leadership, which they defined largely as the ability to lead or manage a group of people, so in educational outreach setting, patient with and accepting of differences, experience working with diverse audiences, the diversity, and ability to teach and design a lesson for diverse audiences. And I would argue that a lot of these skills are also things that are useful for anyone wanting to go into any extension-related field. So I'm talking today about urban ag, more NGO-related positions, but I think these skills are useful across the board for many employment opportunities. So my goals for today for you guys are to really provide some examples of programs that we've used at NC State. And specifically, I'm going to be talking about two courses and an internship program. We have put students into communities to do some teaching and learning with populations that are primarily low income. And second, to provide a framework that you as individuals can use to develop your own program. So I'm going to try to provide you with a lot of details about how we structure these programs so that you can take nuggets of it and take it home to your own programs. So you've heard a lot today on reflection and the idea of having an experience and then reflecting, and the difference between just having that experience and learning from it. And I would argue the key to that is really that reflection piece. I carry out a lot of what I do in experiential learning through the activity of service learning. Service learning has a number of definitions, but the National Service Learning Clearinghouse defines it as a teaching and learning strategy that integrates meaningful community service with instruction and reflection to enrich the learning experience. So there's that reflection piece again. Teach civic responsibility and strengthen communities. So we're meeting a need in the community through the activity we're conducting. So service learning is different from volunteerism. In this example below, we can see that in this case, students are collecting trash out of a nearby stream bed. They're conducting a volunteer activity. The difference between that and service learning is maybe those volunteers in service learning would collect the trash, analyze what they've taken out of the stream, determine possible solutions of how that stuff ended up in the stream in the first place, and share the results with the neighborhood in which they're working. That's service learning. So North Carolina State, many of you know, is an urban land-grant institution. We're located in the heart of Raleigh, and we have about 34,000 students. Large agricultural programs, many of the primary, their traditional agriculture departments, entomology, food science, crop science, soil science. I'm in the soil science department. But in the midst of all this great learning, we also have a large obesity epidemic in the state. North Carolina has the 12th highest obesity rate of all the states, and with 28%, and ranks fifth in childhood obesity, 19% of our children. And more than one in five children are food insecure. So a couple of women in 1989 decided they were going to try to change this. They wanted to change the course of health of the poor in our state. And this happened one morning when they were out having breakfast, and they realized after the breakfast hour had closed at the restaurant that the restaurant simply threw out a lot of the food that they had been serving for breakfast. And they said, this is ridiculous. We're going to try to recover some of this food and redistribute it. And so starting in 89, they did this, and it resulted in who is now our community partner, the Interfaith Food Shuttle, a nonprofit organization in Raleigh, but that operates throughout the state in rescuing food and redistributing it to counties in need. They now serve over 200 programs in seven counties around our state. So they're very, very large. In 2008, they created a new program, which they called the Farm and Community Garden Program. So instead of just recovering food and redistributing it, they would now be growing it for redistribution in neighborhoods that were, again, primarily low income. So the Farm and Community Garden goals of the Food Shuttle included the following: to provide fresh local fruits and vegetables to community members in need, that excels in taste and nutrition, to empower community members, to improve community health. And finally, the piece into which we fit in our programming is to provide garden education, skill-building opportunities, physical activity, and youth development. So the gardens in which we work, I list here. I'm not going to go into them in detail, but two of them are low-income neighborhoods, housing developments, manufactured home communities, otherwise known as trailer parks, after-school mentoring programs, and we work in one alternative high school, which is basically a school for students that have been less than successful in their traditional district school, and they get re-educated, in a sense, at this new this alternative school within Raleigh, behaviorally challenged youth. The first program I'm going to talk about today is an introduction to agroecology course. This is not my course. It's one of my co-authors, Michelle Schroeder Moreno's course. It's the core course for the agroecology major and concentration at NC State. It's a three-credit course, big enrollment. It's an introductory course for students coming from many different disciplines at NC State, not just those in the agroecology program. So it sometimes acts as a window through which students can enter into agriculture when it was something they maybe didn't think they were going to do. It's a general education course. We have diverse students from various majors in that course, and many have no experience in gardening or working with a community. The second course, which I teach, is called Ecological Soil Management. It's an upper-level soil science course, and it's a course in which we have a lecture component and a lab component, which is the service learning piece. Students, it's a 3+1, so students can, any students in my lecture course must take the field course, the service learning component, in the community, but students can take the service learning component alone. So my goal for that is to not let students who really want to learn the soil science, not let them get out of having to do the service learning piece. So that's a requirement for them. Students often come to me having many agricultural courses already under their belt, and many of them also have volunteer experience. So the first course I'll talk about, the Introduction to Agroecology course, Dr. Schroeder Moreno's course. Her goals that she has for her course or her objectives that are related to service learning include demonstrating effective teamwork and discussing controversial topics with individuals with different opinions, and a demonstrated ability to communicate and apply agroecology knowledge in real-world situations. And the difference between her course and my course is that her course is more of what we call an immersion in service learning. She has her students work in the Interfaith Food Shuttle Gardens for 4 hours each semester. So it's an introduction to the activity. She assigns an activity, they work for 4 hours, and that's it. They reflect upon this experience in the classroom, but it's nothing more than that. Mine's a little bit more integrated in the longer term, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So my course is such that the students work over the entire semester working with one of the community gardens for about 8 weeks. They design and carry out a teaching program in their neighborhood for neighborhood youth. And the youth, the age in which they're working ranges from middle school all the way up through high school. And again, these are gardens that in some cases are in the neighborhood themselves. In other cases, such as the high school, it's a horticulture program where there's a garden that's part of the school curriculum. In my course, the learning objectives include designing and carrying out this lesson that would be appropriate for an urban audience, developing professional skills, including problem solving, public speaking, ability to lead a group, and resourcefulness. And these should look familiar to you because many of these are the same goals or desired credentials that the students or the employers that were looking for employees in the future wanted their students to have. So we set out with the goal of trying to develop some of these skills in our students. And finally, we want to increase the students' ability to think critically about social issues that are related to agriculture and soil science. So the course is relatively small, where Michelle's course is large. We have on the order of 6 or 7 students in the course so far. It's a new course. We are actually hoping to have up to 15 in the future, but thus far that has not happened. We have a lecture two times per week, and then, as I mentioned, the field service learning component, where they are matched with the community garden and actually do the teaching in the neighborhoods. So this is where I want to describe to you kind of the details of how the course looks and how I have designed it. We start out the semester and end the semester. You see on either end there are these initial and final interviews with having some evaluation of the program and discussions about what they expect to learn. So we do pre-interviews and post-interviews at the end, asking students questions about what they expect to learn, where they think they lie currently in their understanding of working with diverse populations. Do they think they have experience? Do they think they're going to be able to do this successfully? And then it's followed by about 3 weeks of pre-course training. And this training is designed, I've actually designed it after carrying out the course for 1 year and realizing that students really wanted to be better equipped to work in these communities. So we designed these 3 workshops to think about diversity, talk about diversity, talk about what it is, what it means in agriculture, and to give them some teaching skills so that when they actually went out into the communities, they could be confident and more effective in their teaching. And that's followed by the 8 weeks of teaching. In the middle of that 8 weeks of teaching, at week 9, you can see that we have an in-class reflection. So the students skip a week in their neighborhoods, come back together, we talk about what it's been like, what are some of the challenges they saw, and how they might be able to alleviate some of the problem areas that they're finding in the fields. In the very end, in week 15, you see there's a final presentation that's done in conjunction with our partners, those that have worked with the students in the field, and the students then share with us what they've learned, what have been the good, the bad, and the ugly of their service learning experience. See, Joey, you're famous. I think I saw Joey in here somewhere. And so this is one of our students working at the alternative high school. They are doing a vermiculture project with the students where they have a vermiculture bin on the site. And one of the things that the students like most about this, the 8 weeks that they're spending in the neighborhoods, is that they really do, in many cases, develop a relationship with the students and the clients in the neighborhood. The first year I conducted this activity, I only did 4 weeks, and I thought, oh, students, they're going to complain, they're not going to want to do it. And every student at the end of the semester said, by the end of the 4 weeks, I was only starting to develop relationships with my kids. I wanted more time, and I was very surprised, and I happily gave them more time. So another area that I want to touch on briefly that we're starting to experiment in and with our service learning work is done in conjunction with the Center for Environmental Farming Systems. This is a partnership between NC State, NCANT, our other land-grant institution, and the North Carolina Department of Agriculture, whose mission is to develop and promote ag systems that do multiple things: protect the environment, enhance rural communities, provide economic opportunities to North Carolina residents. And it has multiple branches: research, outreach, and an educational piece. So many of the projects and the programs, the courses I've talked about today, fit under this academic branch of CEFS. CEFS has an internship program as part of its core academic programs, in which students come in from across the U.S. and work for 8 weeks in a summer program, and they receive credit for this experience. It's hands-on education. They're working in the fields. They're learning about multiple areas of agriculture at the site of CEFS in rural North Carolina in Goldsboro. And in the past, for the past 2 years, we have matched those students with community programs, again, in a very rural part of the state, where they have learned and worked with populations through community food systems activities. And that's been very rewarding. We haven't done any evaluation on these programs yet, but it's a way in which we're trying to match our internship students with activities happening, not in urban environments, but in rural environments around the state. So here's a picture of what this might look like. Because it's happening during the summer months, there's really no after-school program to speak of. They work in environments such as programs held at the public library where there is a garden that has been developed, and bringing students to CEFS to get a picture of what agriculture looks like in multiple environments. So finally, I'm going to leave a couple minutes, hopefully, for questions, but I want to talk about some of the evaluation that we've done so far. I should put a plug in for two of my students. I see one of them in there, too. Max Sherrard has a poster this afternoon where he's going to be talking about some of his work as an undergrad, I might add, evaluating some of our service learning programs and looking at student learning that has resulted for some of these programs. So I invite you to visit his poster. And Sarah Smith, the graduate student I mentioned earlier, is looking at the effects of conducting this pre-course training on student learning. So please visit those posters and see what they've been up to. I'm going to just present a couple of slides here related to pieces of data showing what students feel like they're learning through the experience. Again, the numbers are small so far, 6 and 7 students, but the trends have been pretty solid from year to year. Students result increases in multiple areas of professional skills. So this is, again, not related in this sense to the content. This is more professional skills that they're going to need when they're working in the field, including teamwork, the ability to adapt, improvise, think on their feet. Educate a diverse audience, work with diversity. Be aware of difficulties that are faced by the community because they've been interacting with these populations for eight weeks. And finally, to be able to work with an underserved community or poor community. This is data from Michelle Schroeder's class, where she's looked at the understanding of certain concepts by students before and after the service learning experience. And she found that, especially in the area of awareness of food insecurity and the willingness to help, that there's slight increases. I don't think these have been assessed statistically, but she just started this work. So we're hoping we'll be able to really tease out some of these learnings that have occurred through our students over time. I find that the most interesting way to really learn about students and what they've learned is kind of as Kathy did, talk about quotes and mention quotes that students say. And here are a few that pertain to problem solving and what students get out of these experiences in terms of the ability to deal with this problem that comes their way. One said that, "I think you just had to adjust more than the content you were teaching. We planned our content out, but by the time we got out there, we had to change it depending upon who showed up. I walked out there after the first day just being like, holy bleep, that was quite different than what I thought it was going to be like." So they had expectations that were a little bit different in the end. Next one, "You had to improvise. You had to change. You had to be flexible. You could go out there and be very well planned in your lesson, but things weren't always as you expected." And again, pertaining to that, we had to think on our toes about who, what, when we had to recap what we had to do. So in closing, I just would like to give a plug for this sort of experience in agricultural education. I think it really can develop some of the skills we would like our students to have in the end. And it looks like I might not have any time for questions, but I'd be happy to take them after the break. Thank you.